I am. Yet what I am, none cares or knows. My friends forsake me like a memory lost. I am the self-consumer of my woes. They rise and vanish, an oblivious host, like shadows in love's frenzied, stifled throes. And yet I am and live. These are the opening lines of John Clare's poem, I Am, a poem written while Clare was in the Northampton General Lunatic Asylum, isolated from family and friends. To say that the poem reflects a troubling period in his life would be an understatement. Yet it is a poem which reflects deeply on the self, on identity, a theme that is central to our reading from Mark's Gospel. Jesus asks what on the surface appears to be a very simple question. Who do you say that I am? That question, who do you say that I am, is a much harder question to answer than we might think. So first, some time for some biblical truth. There are, in Scripture, four Gospels. And the four Gospels paint four different pictures of Jesus. There are 23 other books in the New Testament that also paint individual understandings of Jesus, and which vary depending on the audience that was being addressed. There is a lot of contradiction. Let's not pretend that the discrepancies don't exist. Now, last week, if you were here and if you were paying attention during children's time, I said something that got a laugh. We were talking about the story of the Syrophoenician woman, and I was joking with the kids about how they have a dog and feeding your dog from the table. And I made the following statement. I said, you aren't supposed to feed the dog from the table. The Bible says so. Just that's what it says in that passage. And though I made that statement in jest, those words, the Bible says so, are very damaging and dangerous words. We like harmony, and we want to think that everything in this book agrees with itself. But if you're a student of the Bible, you know that that isn't true. And so we are far better off acknowledging the diversity of Scripture and spending our time figuring out why that diversity exists, rather than trying to force everything into an easy-to-digest box that fits with our own preconceived notions and ideas that we are already comfortable with. Who do you say that I am? This is what Jesus asks the disciples. You are the Messiah, comes the response. Simple enough, cut and dried. It's a statement we can all get behind. Well, what does that mean? You are the Messiah. We know that there are four Gospels painting four distinct pictures of what Jesus is like. Jesus is very different in the book of the Hebrews versus how he is conveyed in Corinthians. And the disciples, they had a preconceived notion of what the Messiah was supposed to be, of what the Messiah was supposed to do. Overthrow the Romans, reclaim the throne of David, lead God's people into a golden age of prosperity, make Israel great again. This is what they thought. This is what they wanted. This is the Jesus that they want. It's what they're hoping for. Is it the Jesus that we want? Probably not. We like what we get in the Gospels. We know the full story that the disciples didn't have. And we like what we have. But even then, we aren't always so sure. And this morning is one of those passages where we're not so sure. But we'll get there in just a moment. Jesus is the Messiah. He doesn't deny it. He tells them to be quiet and not tell anyone, but he doesn't deny it. But now, Jesus needs to disabuse the disciples of any notions that they have of what the Messiah is, of what the Messiah is supposed to do. And let's be honest, the disciples do not like what they hear. Peter takes Jesus aside to have a little chat. Jesus, I don't know what you've read the same book that I've read, but no, this isn't the way it's supposed to go. To the point that Jesus needs to tell Peter, get behind me, Satan. And let's be clear. Jesus uses strong language in his rebuke of Peter. We have an easier time with this question and with the rebuke. We read it and we chuckle. Oh, Peter, you don't know how the story goes. You don't know how it ends. Well, of course he doesn't. He's in the book. He hasn't read the book. He lived it. We are in the know. We know that Jesus must die and rise again. We've read to the end. But the disciples, they don't have that knowledge. They don't know this. And often, as a result, they tend to be the butt end of a joke. But they have an understandably difficult time accepting this news. But I ask you, are we really any different? Are we really any different? After he rebukes Peter, Jesus goes on to explain what it means to follow him. Just like Peter didn't take the news about Jesus having to suffer, be rejected, die, and rise again, we have problems and difficulty with what comes next. If you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Jesus draws a line in the sand. Take up your cross and follow me. In his book, The Call of Discipleship, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, Jesus bids us come and die. There's no way to sugarcoat this. And perhaps these are words that the church in North America needs to hear today. Take up your cross and follow me. Are we willing to suffer the consequences of following Jesus faithfully? Whatever those consequences might be, do we put the priorities of Jesus ahead of our own? Do we put the priorities of Jesus ahead of our own comfort and security? Do we lose our lives by spending them for others, using what we have, time, money, ability, so that others might know God's love made known in Jesus Christ? There's a beautiful picture that I've seen. It's a photograph. And the photograph is of a statue of Jesus. And he is carrying his cross. And he is bent down and he is low. stumbling under the burden of carrying our sin. The photograph also depicts a little child trying to pick up the cross and help Jesus. "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus asks. We might better ask, "Who do we say that we are?" Are we defined by the times that we live in? Is our identity constructed by the culture which we are a part? Does political party affiliation define us? Does our point of view on one issue or another say everything there is to say about us? Or is our identity formed through our trust in God, made known in Jesus Christ? All four distinct pictures which are painted in the Gospels and further expounded upon in 23 other books, further illuminated through the Old Testament and continued work of the Holy Spirit. Who are you? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that you are? Are we willing to ask the question? When Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" he went further and he explained what it all meant. He said all this quite openly, and so should we. Amen.